When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
This Day in History class is a production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, and welcome to This Day in History class, a show that reveals a little bit more about history every day. I'm Gabe Lousier, and in this episode, we're celebrating a milestone in the early days of astrophotography, the world's first clear, up-close look at the surface of the moon. The day was March 23rd, 1840. Amateur photographer John William Draper reported his success in taking detailed images of the moon. He made the announcement to the New York Lyceum of Natural History, or the Academy of Sciences, as it's known today. A focused image of the moon's surface would have been big news for members of that scientific society. It was a chance to finally see the craters, mountains, and valleys that they had previously only glimpsed in drawings. For centuries, astronomers were limited to sketching all the details they saw through their telescopes by hand. This provided a rough idea of what they were seeing, but it was hardly a perfect system. Looking back and forth between the telescope and the paper meant that important details were often left out along the way. Plus, if the astronomer wasn't a good artist, it was hard to tell what you were even looking at. The invention of photography proved there was a better way. Draper's images were captured using the daguerreotype method, which involved the use of light and chemicals to fix a photographic image onto a metal plate. The technique's namesake, Louis Daguerre, had invented the process in France 2 years earlier. Right away, French astronomers started asking Daguerre to photograph the moon for them, and he happily obliged. It's widely believed that Daguerre took the very first photo of the moon on January 2, 1839, and then followed it up with several others. Unfortunately, he never managed to capture the moon in focus, and the shots he did get were destroyed in a fire just 2 months later. All of Daguerre's written records of the experiments, along with that historical first photo of the moon, and all the ones he took after, were lost. For the scientific community, it was one exciting step forward and two agonizing steps back. But good news would arrive just 1 year later, when a chemistry professor in New York named John Draper heard of the daguerreotype process and decided to try it for himself. Draper dabbled with photography in his spare time, and was captivated by the chemistry of light-sensitive materials. When news of Daguerre's breakthrough process arrived in America, Draper quickly replicated the method in the fall of 1839, and then began experimenting with ways to further improve it. Over the next several months, Draper succeeded in making a faster, more efficient way to take pictures. The earliest of his surviving daguerreotypes is an image of his 33-year-old sister, Dorothy Catherine Draper. Soon after it was taken, Draper set his sights skyward and chose the surface of the moon as his next subject. In the winter of early 1840, Draper tried several times to take photos of the moon from the rooftop observatory of New York University, where he taught. But just like Daguerre a year earlier, Draper couldn't get a clear shot. They all came out underexposed or way too blurry. But then, in mid-March, Draper hit on a winning formula and got his timing just right. He confidently reported his findings to the New York Lyceum on March 23rd, revealing that he had obtained the first focused images of the moon. So while John Draper may not have been the first person to capture an image of the moon, by all accounts he was the first to get a shot of it in focus. Unfortunately, that original shot didn't survive to the modern day, with much of Draper's work lost to a fire, once again just like Daguerre before him. Draper's notes and report of his success to the Lyceum are the only surviving evidence of his breakthrough. That said, Draper does still hold the record for having taken the earliest surviving photo of the moon. It just wasn't the first one that he took. The photo in question is believed to have been made just 3 days after his historic announcement on March 23rd, and it shows the moon in the last quarter phase, with the left half of the lunar surface clearly illuminated. It's also believed to be the first photo of the moon to be publicly exhibited after being placed on display at the New York Lyceum on April 13, 1840. But people weren't as impressed as you might expect. According to the Metropolitan Museum of Art, quote, "Despite his accomplishment, Draper's efforts received only modest recognition from his contemporaries." His son, Henry, however, was fascinated by his father's lunar portraits. In the decades to come, Henry would follow in his dad's footsteps, ultimately taking more than 1,000 photos of the moon, as well as other heavenly bodies, including the sun, planets, comets, and stars. His work filled in so many missing details about the moon's surface that a lunar crater was later named in his honor. Draper's granddaughter, Antonia Mori, also carried on the family business. She became a respected astronomer in the early 20th century, which, given her gender, was no easy feat at the time. As for John Draper, he eventually got his due as well. Today, he's remembered as the father of astrophotography, the first to provide a detailed look at our planet's closest neighbor. I'm Gabe Lousier, and hopefully, you now know a little more about history today than you did yesterday. You can learn even more about history by following us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at TDIHCShow. And if you have any comments or suggestions, you can always send them my way at thisday@iheartmedia.com. Thanks to Chandler Mays for producing the show, and thank you for listening. I'll see you back here again tomorrow for another day in history class.
Have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV, and be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Digital trends show up every day in business decisions and actions. West Monroe is the number one strategic partner translating technology into financial value for companies. The This Is Digital podcast applies West Monroe's two decades of secrets and best practices to your business's benefit. Favorite past topics from the last three seasons include how AI and the next generation of employees are shaping the workplace, becoming a product company, Highmark's journey, and what does it mean to put the customer first? Learn more at westmonroe.com.